From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. That you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, we invite your attention to a brief devotional thought from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 25. If thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. God's altar was to be built of unhewn stones, that no trace of human skill or labor might be seen upon it. Human wisdom delights to trim and arrange the doctrines of the cross into a system more artificial and more congenial with the depraved tastes of fallen nature. Instead, however, of improving the gospel, carnal wisdom pollutes it, until it becomes another gospel and not the truth of God at all. All alterations and amendments of the Lord's own word are defilements and pollutions. The proud heart of man is very anxious to have a hand in the justification of the soul before God. Preparations for Christ are dreamed of, humblings and repentings are trusted in, good works are cried up, natural ability is much vaunted, and by all means the attempt is made to lift up human tools upon the divine altar. It were well if sinners would remember that, so far from perfecting the Savior's work, their carnal confidences only pollute and dishonor it. The Lord alone must be exalted in the work of atonement, and not a single mark of man's chisel or hammer will be endured. There is an inherent blasphemy in seeking to add to what Christ Jesus, in his dying moments, declared to be finished, or to improve that in which the Lord Jehovah finds perfect satisfaction. Trembling sinner, away with thy tools, and fall upon thy knees in humble supplication, and accept the Lord Jesus to be the altar of thine atonement, and rest in Him alone. Many professors may take warning from this morning's text as to the doctrines which they believe. There is among Christians far too much inclination to square and reconcile the truths of Revelation. This is a form of irreverence and unbelief. Let us strive against it, and receive the truth as we find it, rejoicing that the doctrines of the Word are unhewn stones, and so are all the more fit to build an altar for the Lord.
Have you not known, have you not heard, God's throne remains on high? Established by His mighty hand to form the earth and sky. Are you afraid His power shall fail when comes your evil day? And can at all created arm grow weary or decay?
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it.
Thank you.
On today's broadcast, Pastor Tomassian continues the theme of the characteristics of a true gospel church. From 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 through 15, we've seen that a gospel church is a church at peace. In verses 16 through 24, we learn that a gospel church makes progress. The Apostle Paul sets forth three things that mark a church and an individual believer as progressing in the faith. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. The secret of effective praying lies in constantly giving thanks to God. Now, to commence this message, a gospel church is a church making progress. Here is Pastor Tomassian.
We're coming to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll read from verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. We'll end our reading there at verse 24. Every church has its trials. The Holy Spirit's summary of the apostles' message to the churches as he returned on his first missionary journey, as Paul came back and dealt with the churches that had been planted, the summary given of his message in Acts 14:22 is, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. That's the summary. I've pointed that out a number of times already because it's very applicable to the church that we've been considering and the epistle written to those that were in Thessalonica. They had their trials, their tribulations, their difficulties. And summarized in the apostles' message to young churches is the fact that this would be their experience. And we are not exempt from the same. Every church has, every church has its trials. Individually, some of you have come here and you have your trials. You come in this morning and you have cares that are weighing upon you, concerns that you are going through and come right to your mind even now. And the collective body has them as well. There's no avoiding it. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. You partake in something of the suffering of Christ because you are the body of Christ. The body of Christ suffered the agonies that were experienced leading up to the cross and the cross itself. God's people go through something of those sufferings in their own experience, appointed by God for his own purposes and always for our good. And since suffering is part of life, dealing with suffering is a crucial aspect of Christian living. How are you going to deal with it? How are you going to get through it? When we don't handle sufferings aright, it's always a worship problem on a number of levels. We make idols of how life ought to be. And as is the case with all forms of idolatry, it is a danger to our souls. When we lift up and when we think to ourselves, this is how it should be, we make an idol. And it's dangerous, very dangerous, to sit at the feet of that idol and to lose a sense of our vision being upon Christ and his sovereign will and what he has for each of his people. It is only at the feet of Christ that we can glorify God in our trials. So at the feet of Christ where we fall in humble adoration to him who loves us and cares for us, and it doesn't matter what goes on, we know that he does all things well. We sit there and we worship in spite of the turmoil as Paul brings his epistle to a close, he focuses on life in the church, facing all the hostility of the world and the troubles that inevitably arise. The church needed guidance, needed help. How were they going to respond to the trials and tribulations? We've already dealt with some of them. Some of them are internal. Their struggle over natural feelings relating to those that have passed away, the sorrow that gripped their hearts, trying to deal with that. Well, the apostle helps to alleviate that with the truth of the gospel. But there are these trials that constantly arise within and without, pressures that come against the people of God, against the church. And if we don't respond the way the Lord would have us to respond, it's always a worship problem. Idolatry is going on. Our hearts are misguided, either through misinstruction or through the vain imaginations of our own hearts. Last week we looked at that which relates to peace in the body of Christ, those that are helpers of the peace and the need to maintain that peace within the body of Christ. Very important aspect, especially dealing with hostility and all of the trials and difficulties of life. But the advice from the apostle continues, and we come to verses 16 through 24. And while last week we considered a gospel church as a church at peace, this morning we consider a gospel church is a church making progress. A gospel church is a church making progress. And a number of things I want us to note here in these verses. There's a lot here, but a little like Paul, who didn't expound on all of these, and kind of, as I said last week, he's putting them out there as reminders to things he no doubt had instructed them in the past. I'm doing something similar. I'm not going to develop these all to the degree that possibly I could, but I trust that this, what will be said will be sufficient, and the Lord will apply his word. First, we consider the exercises that make for progress. The exercises that make for progress. Verse 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. These three exhortations go together. They're all pulled in by the Apostle Paul carefully because they're linked. And to see the connection is a very important aspect of this. I mean, you could just look at verse 16 and I could drive home the importance of rejoicing in the life of the believer. We could have a whole message just on that. Or we could look at prayer and just drive home the point of prayer that the Apostle Paul is evidently seeking to lay before them, and look at it in an individual aspect and look at the aspect of prayer in the life of the believer or the life of the church. Or in giving thanks, just dealing with thanksgiving. That's a subject in and of itself that could be handled independently. But they all are pulled together. Many of you will be familiar with Philippians chapter 4. And there you find the same things being pulled into close proximity, maybe with a little more development in what he says there, but the same thing is being said. Philippians 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Is that not verse 16? And then in verse 6 of Philippians 4, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In Philippians 4, he pulls the same truths together. The same exhortations that must be grasped, all pulled together in the same context, that you're not to divide the rejoicing part from the praying and that from the thanksgiving. They all go hand in hand. And this is the answer when we're dealing with the threats of trials and difficulties in our lives. Trials have the tendency to cause us to be anxious, to be concerned, to be worried. And the path to calm, beloved, regardless of the circumstances, is found in the exhortations here in our text. As I say, Philippians 4 develops it more and brings more light on that aspect of anxiety and concern when he says, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, don't allow your heart to be led astray with cares and concerns. But he drives home rejoicing, praying, giving thanks. And that's what Paul is doing here as well. The same thing, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. And the context is God's people going through trial, going through tribulation, going through difficulty, and needing to respond the right way. And Paul's advice, in order that they might progress in spite of those things that would threaten to hinder them and cause them to stumble, is the advice given in these exhortations. How do you rejoice evermore? I mean, it almost seems insensitive for Paul to say this. The immediate response, of course, to someone who says rejoice, I mean, just put yourself in a position where you're going through the greatest trial you've ever gone through, and the response of a believer is, rejoice evermore. I mean, your immediate response is, hang on a minute. Let me let you into what's going on. Let me help you understand exactly what I'm going through. That is the natural response, to enlighten the mind that seems to make light of the trials that we're going through. But Paul is completely aware, very much aware, of the trials and the difficulties and the struggles of the people of God. This is a man who was told from the day of his conversion that his life would be a life of trials and struggles and difficulty. He knows what it's like for life to be tough. And his counsel is, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. How do you rejoice evermore, Paul? How? Pray without ceasing. If you leave out that, you will not be able to rejoice evermore. It will be impossible for you. You will spend time at the feet of your circumstances. You'll spend time gazing upon the trial, upon the trouble, upon the experiences. You'll spend your time there, and your gaze will be filled with all the horror of what is going on or what might be about to take place, and you will be crippled. Joy will not flow from your heart there. Anxiety will. Worry. Despair. Hopelessness. So in the midst of trial, what do you do? How do you obey such an exhortation? You pray without ceasing. You pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Well, what do I pray about? How can I pray when this is going on, when that is going on, when I'm facing this trial and this struggle? How do I pray? In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. You're struggling to know what to pray about, what to bring before God. In everything, give thanks. Get before God and give thanks and keep giving thanks. That is a form of prayer. You keep giving thanks, you're praying without ceasing. And as you give thanks and you pray without ceasing in that way, then you will inevitably rejoice evermore. You can't divide them, beloved. If you're weighed down with anxiety, there is no one solution to it. And there's no quick fix that man can develop. But the apostolic counsel is given in these three exhortations, all linked together: rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. And maybe it's more easy to see the link as we work it backwards. Giving thanks. That's where I need to begin. I need to see what I can give thanks for. To gaze upon what God has done for me. That leads me into prayer, and I keep praying, giving thanks. And then I begin to rejoice over the things that I have. When we are downcast and struggling, it's not just maybe even getting down before the Lord to pray to give thanks. Sometimes we need to pray until we give thanks. We're so far away from being able to give thanks that we just need to get before the Lord and wait there until thanksgiving comes from our hearts. There is nothing in the body of Christ that helps them progress as much as this. There's nothing that they can do, nothing that any of us can do that will help us progress more than giving ourselves to these exhortations. In fact, you could just write beside these exhortations, here is how I progress in the Christian life.
been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.